due to profanity and topics may be disturbing for some listeners. Listen at your own risk. Welcome back to Helen Hills Podcast. I'm Bryce.
I'm Amanda.
And hello. Welcome back. What the fuck is wrong with this?
What? Hello?
Sorry. My microphone keeps like being real flimsy and not staying where I want it to. I fixed it. But anyways, hi, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
Well, you're well?
I'm well.
Well, I'm doing great because I have something to share with you and I know you're going to be excited.
Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to be excited.
I mean, you're not going to be as excited as you could have been, but I am going to send you a picture. Okay. I intentionally did not Snapchat you this.
Okay.
Picture has been sent. Please appreciate my first loaf of Dolene.
Stop.
She's beautiful.
Bryce is so pretty.
She's gorgeous.
Oh my God.
Dolene.
It's Dolene.
And Amanda is showing Dolene James because of how beautiful she is.
Bryce made it. Yeah. He said, sourdough? So, yeah, he said, nice.
Okay. He's not impressed. But for that being my first loaf.
Oh, no, he is impressed because he has considered getting into sourdough.
Okay, it's not that difficult. Like, in my head, it was way more difficult than I thought it would be. Like, it's time consuming. I will say that. It's very time consuming. But it's time consuming because all you ever do is wait on shit, right? Like, so you have to wait for your starter to grow. And I didn't, I will say this, I did not start my starter from scratch. I got some from a friend. And then I just renamed it. Anyway. But like, there's that. And then like, you have to wait for it to grow when you feed it and all of that fun stuff. And if you're starting from scratch, I've heard that process is like 20 something days. For the starter to be active. So you have that. And then when you have to feed it and let it grow and all this stuff so that you can actually bake with it, like you have to make sure it's at the peak place and all of that. And then it's like the actual making it process was not as bad as I thought. So it was like, because it's like feed it, wait. And then, okay, it's ready to be used. So then you can use whatever you need to do. And then it's just like mix everything up like you would a typical dough and then wait and stretch and fold and wait and stretch and fold and wait and stretch and fold and wait. And then like let it proof on that counter for a couple hours and then in the fridge for 12 to 15 hours. So it's not like you're doing a lot, but it's you're also doing a lot of waiting.
I would need some sort of list to check off because I already know I would need a list and I would need a timer.
That is why there are recipes that have those lists. So like it's not too bad. Yeah.
And that and my number one thing, because everyone says like it's intimidating, but it's super easy once you get a hang of it, once you get, you know, an explanation. It's just intimidating. But I'm also worried about starting my own sourdough because
like,
you have to take care of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the nice thing about the sourdough that I got, at least, is I got it from a friend. I threw it in the fridge, forgot about it for a couple weeks, and then was like, okay, I think I'm mentally prepared to try this.
Yeah, that would be me. But I think you said they go into like a hibernation.
Yeah, they go into like a hibernation phase. Says you're still supposed to feed it once a week. I've seen people that are like, this has been in here for months. I'm going to reuse this. And I'm like, well, I think I'll survive.
Yeah, I mean, it is bacteria.
Yeah, I think I'll survive. But I will say, I think it was a little undercooked, Dolene. We tried her. A little undercooked, but she was still delicious. But I just want you to appreciate how gorgeous she was.
Oh, no, this is like quality. Quality shit.
Sourdough.
Yeah.
Over here. I mean, like, what are you going to do about it?
Admire.
It's true. But yeah, so there's that. Side note, I don't know if you saw this. This one posted too.
It's no. Mandela effect. I like it.
Anyways. Okay. Amanda hasn't seen what I've been doing with post-wise. I just forced her to spend like 10 minutes appreciating the post that I did. I'm going to be honest. I cheated. Chat GPT all the way. Like, I'm not going to hide this. I did not create those graphics. I typed into Chat GPT and said, hey, create me this graphic. And we moved on with our lives.
And Chat GPT said, yes, ma'am. ChatGPT. I cannot say this.
ChatGPT.
See, it was. I got two good ones. That's it.
GBT is what it sounds like you're saying.
I'm just gonna start saying ChatGPT and just let it go. Yeah,
fine. I'll know what you're talking about. But yeah, that was my excitement. I was showing Amanda, like, look at this really cool thing that I did. And it really wasn't me.
Still, I appreciate it. You were...
I gave instructions, and yes. I said, this is what I want.
And they said, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. They didn't, because you hate that. They said, yep.
Please don't ever call me ma'am. And they said, okay! But yeah, so it's been fun doing all of that, because, like, I'm learning what to do with it, and it's kind of just fun. So, but yeah, that's been my life. That's been my excitement. What else do we have? The other update I have has not been so exciting. It's actually been real stressful.
Oh?
The boys.
Oh.
Had their circumcisions done. And I don't want to hear anyone say anything. I don't care. I decided to circumcise my children. Mm-hmm. But it has been hell. Ever since the procedure, Leo has been, first of all, clingy as shit.
Oh.
Secondly, he no longer sleeps through the night.
Oh, no.
Do I know if it's procedure related? No. Am I blaming the procedure because it started the night of their procedure? Yes.
I feel that's fair.
Uh-huh. So that's been the joys of my life. A little cranky about it because real tired here. But
you goofy.
Yeah. So those are my only two updates. It's been real rough.
But are they doing, like, are they doing better physically?
I mean, they're fine physically. They only had a couple days of discomfort. They haven't been on any medicine for a couple days now. But, like, everything so far looks fine. Nothing has raised flags or anything. Good. So I'm just kind of like, okay, sweet. Go with it. And then, yeah, that's all.
I'm glad to hear that, at least.
Yeah. It's at least there's that, and I'll take that as good news, I guess. I don't know if it's good news or if I should just, I don't know. We're just here.
We're here. We're living. We may not be thriving, but we're surviving.
We got this. The boys are thriving. Okay.
Yes.
The boys thriving.
Good.
Because my God, those two, I love them so much. And, I'm so tired because of how much I love them, but they're very, very cute and they're very, very happy. And I'm hoping they are also getting fat.
Oh, okay.
Hoping. Last time I Googled their percentile, they were 25th percentile.
Okay, they're getting there.
That does not mean that's still accurate. Just saying, the last time I did, they were 25th percentile.
No, they're gonna be fine. I bet they're gonna be at least in the 30s. JJ's got some hair coming in, his little toupee.
His toupee area, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all he's grown, guys, is a toupee. He's on the sides of his head, no, nothing. Top of his head where his toupee would go, luscious.
He's got like a great little inch long, inch wide, something like that. Like a great little square of hair.
It, yeah. Hey, you know what, though? It is more than my dad. And I say that to piss you off, Dad. You're welcome. Because what would he do without me? Like, let's get real, Dad. How would you survive if I didn't pick on you?
Good question. I'll wait.
We'll wait. I would love to hear. Anyways, but yeah, that's all my updates.
I'm sorry. I was yawning. I also have not been sleeping, but this is pretty sure it's my medication's fault. Because it does cause, like, one of the side effects is insomnia. And lately I have just been like, it was like, what, 12:30 last night when you texted me?
No, it was like 11:30.
Oh, okay. So not that bad. Yeah, Bryce texted me and I think I like pretty quickly text back and you were like, I was not expecting you to be awake.
Yeah, it would have been about 11:30 because it was 10:30 my time. And I literally said, I expected you to be asleep.
Yeah, that medicine is... I will literally lay in bed and just try to go to sleep and ignore, you know, my fun little shadow friends. I ignore them. But I'll just try to sleep and I'll just...
Are they there every night now?
Almost every night, yes. More times than not.
Are you sure it's medication related, or do you need to, you know, have your house exercised?
Could be both. I know I have an appointment with a therapist next week, so we'll see how that goes too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Let's just check all the boxes. Yeah.
Let's just make it very clear. We don't know either.
Yeah. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow for my physical. I've got physical well-being, not like a physical. Then I have an appointment with a therapist next week for my mental. And then after that, I'll get like some sage and stuff. Actually, probably somewhere in between then I'll get some sage. But for right now, they're hanging out with me while I try to get sleepy at night.
I mean, whatever.
And what else? Oh, kill me. So I've been kind of, I don't want to say I've been teaching Annie to read, but we have been going hard on the letter. Okay. And she knows a good, at least half of the letter. She can look at it. And the other night it was bath time and James and I had the kids in the bath and I was telling them, I was like, you know, Annie's been doing really good with her letters lately. And they have these foam letters and numbers that they play with in the bathtub. Well, Annie plays with them, Lee chews on them. Everybody's happy. And I was telling James, like, she's been doing really good. Like, she actually really impressed me with her ABC book. And Bryce, the millisecond after those words left my mouth, Annie picked up a 2 and she goes, "See."
See, she's kind of close. Kind of.
James just looked at me and I was like, my daughter's trolling me. Like, I swear to God she did that on purpose. Because the next time we picked that book up, I opened it to see and she said see. And I was like,
In her defense, she's like, listen, it has the same kind of curvature.
Yeah, but a 2 has feet.
Okay, but I'm just saying the curvature.
And then, okay, so we're recording, like, what, an hour late tonight?
Yeah, something like because, that, because we started bullshitting.
Well, that and I was late because... I don't know if anybody else does this, okay, or has to do this, but Lee has his 15-month appointment tomorrow. And as they get older like that, Bryce, you've got to tell me if the boys have to do this, okay? Because I had to do it with Annie, but I swear to God, it was not this in-depth. So I sent you some screenshots of this, of the survey that you have to do when... You schedule your appointment. You know, you check in online. This is the survey that they had me fill out. And some of the stuff was super, super normal. Like, do they say 4 words, not including mama and dada? Do they say 8 words, not including mama and dada? And this, do they stack one toy on top of the other when you show them how? Will they stack 3 toys on top of each other without you helping? And they're like, yes, yeah, he can do that. I had to test that one. Will he, you know, color with a crayon? If you scribble, will he try to mimic you? That this kind of stuff. And then it gets to, after you have shown your child how, will she try to get a small toy that is slightly out of reach by using a spoon, stick, or similar tool? What? What?
That's a weird one.
It was. It was one that, like, I could not... I was doing these at work. And for the most part, I was like, yeah, he does that sometimes. And then I got to that one, and I was like, no. Spoiler alert, the answer is yes.
Or Cheerio is dropped into a small clear bottle. Does your child turn the bottle upside down to dump it out? Why would I be doing that?
That's my point. Exactly.
Like that's where what? I'm confused. It's just like, why would I be doing that?
I was like, what? How am I supposed to know? I don't know. That's not a game that we play. And then like, also, we don't have Cheerio. We don't eat cereal. We don't have Cheerios. So, me being the jerk that I am, I unintentionally made it even more difficult, and I gave him pennies, which he did very well. But, What? Okay, so if you have to do that, please let me know.
I will let you know, but I will tell you, I hope I never have to do this.
Yeah, because there was a good, like, 20 or 30 of those, and that's why bedtime was pushed back.
Oh. So yeah. You were testing him. You were like, all right, Lee, I'm going to show you this toy's here. Here's a spoon. Yep. Pull it towards you. Can you do, could he do it?
He used a drumstick, but yes, he did it. Okay, after so like seven good. Tries of me like, no, don't hit the toy with the drumstick. Just pull it towards
you. Yeah.
And he okay. eventually did. He's chaotic, like Annie, because they're my children. So once... That's not true. He pays attention a little bit more than Annie. Because when he was putting like the pennies in the... It was just like a little soda... Well, it was a water bottle. Mm-hmm. When he was putting the pennies in there, I was like, okay, cool, all done. And then he like picked up the cap and put that on top too. And I was like, oh, bonus points? Okay.
You're like, sweet. Like, oh, it couldn't get any better.
I am going to be in the nice old folks home when I get old. Y'all keep it up. Go to college. Get a good job. Take care of your mother, because I wiped your butt.
That might not matter, though. I mean, I'm just throwing out there. It just might not matter.
Yeah, you're right. I think I legally have to do that.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like... Anyways, no, that's... I'll let you know. I will say, though... Sorry, I lost my train of thought. So I will say that we had for a minute, because the boys were preemies, we had for a minute, the lady works for the state, but it's not like, not anything. Like, we chose to do it. I think it's called the Welcome Baby Program or something like that.
Okay.
So we chose to do it. But basically, like, she came to the house and was like, all right, are they reaching these milestones?
But, oh, that's like, cool that they come to your house.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta let people in the house. but, you know, like, we had to do that, which was fine. It's not, like, a big deal or anything. But, yeah, like, that type of stuff, we did have to do that. I don't know, maybe it's just, I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but... Yeah. So we did have to do that. And she asked that type of questions, I guess. Like, we would sit there and she'd go, are they doing this? Are they doing this? Are they doing this? So.
Yeah, they want, like, specific. So.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I get it. But I'm just saying, like.
But, like. Yeah. Basically, get ready to actually sit down and give them a. I guess, written and verbal test.
Fine. That's fine. But, yeah, so it sounds like you're having loads of fun.
So much fun.
So much fun. I mean, do you want to go in and have more fun and tell us a story after I talk about some socials?
I would love to. I'm so glad you asked.
Well, guys, we have socials. I already mentioned, like, very briefly beginning that I've been doing so great posting. I'm just totally kidding. But we do have socials. We post all of the pictures that we talk about on X, Instagram, and Facebook. So X is Hill and Heels Pod, Instagram, Hill and Heels Podcast, Facebook, Hill and Heels Podcast. So if you want to see the pictures we're referencing, you can go to any of those platforms. If you're having a hard time finding those platforms, just Google Hill and Heels Podcast Linktree. And our link tree should be the first thing that comes right on up for you. And it's going to have the links for everything, all of our social media, everything like that. And then we also have our email. So if you have suggestion, comments, whatever you want to do, if you have a story you really want to hear, you can email us, hellandheelspodcast@gmail.com. And then other than that, just like, be sure to tell your friends, family, listen as well, because that always just helps us grow. And, you know, we like to see growth. It's always a good thing. But other than that, I think we can get into your story.
Okay. So, I'm going to tell y'all at the beginning this time. This is a two-parter. I know that we just had a two-part true crime, but get over it. We're back. So,
it's our podcast, okay?
Yeah. We can do what we want. And I will tell you, this woman freaking deserves. I love her. So, This is a story of Gisele Petticoat. She was born in December, specifically December 7th, 1952, in Villingen, Germany. Did I say that right? I don't know. Sure. I took a shot. That's in the southern part of West Germany. Her father was a French soldier, and so they actually ended up moving to France when Gisele was 5 years old. Now, when Gisele was nine, her mother died of cancer. Her mother was just 35 years old when she passed.
No.
In 1971, Gisele's brother passed away. He was about 43 years old, and he died of a heart attack, and Gisele was about 15 years old. Not really sure. I did see that in multiple sources. I just want to say the numbers there don't make sense to me, but I could not find out how old her father was either. I mentioned this just to say, like, take this with a grain of salt, okay? But I did see in multiple sources that she, regardless of this loss that she suffered, she had a happy childhood. She would later go on to describe herself as positive, and she always tried to see the good in life. She said that she grew up in a family, and this is a quote, that hid their tears and shared their laughter.
Oh.
In 1971, she met Dominic Petticoat. Dominic was born November 27th, 1952. Now, Dominic, he left school in the fifth grade, and he began apprenticing as an electrician. And unlike Gisele, he had a not-so-great life. He had a hard life. He would later admit to being sexually abused as a child, as well as other unspecified trauma. His father specifically was very abusive. But when him and Gisele met, Gisele said that she fell in love with the seductive young man with long hair. And she knew about his background. She knew about his family troubles. But they built a stable relationship together. And Gisele actually said that she always tried to lift him higher. They got married in April of 1973. They settled in Paris in a suburb called Villiers-sur-Marne. They had a son, David, and a daughter, Caroline, pretty early on in their marriage. And then in 1986, they had their third and final child, another boy named Florian, which I think that's a very pretty name. Never heard that before.
I don't want to say flowery. What's the word I'm thinking? It's like an older, like I'm thinking more, I don't want to say medieval, but like more, is it Regency? Is that the word I'm thinking?
Regal.
Maybe, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. It feels fancy. I like it. Fancy. And it's a little different, but not like a tragedy, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pretty name. Gisele, she had always wanted to be a hairdresser. That was like her dream in life. She did not end up being a hairdresser. Instead, she studied shorthand writing. And throughout the years, she made a career in administration at the state electric company. And she started, you know, at like an entry-level job. But she moved up. And I believe she retired from there. She stayed with that company specifically for a very, very long time. Now, Dominic was an electrician, but he was also an estate agent, and then he had multiple other businesses, too. They all failed. But he tried. He tried, and him and Gisele made it work.
Okay.
In the mid-1980s, Gisele had a 3-year affair with her coworker.
Ma'am.
And when Dominic discovered this, he moved in with another woman.
Oh.
Yeah, and they lived together for a couple months.
I mean, okay.
but Gisele and Dominic, they were able to reconcile. They came back together, and they moved on with their lives again. They stayed together for years, you know, just building their lives, building a family. And then all of their friends and family, they would describe them as the just perfect family.
Okay.
And then, in 2011, Giselle started experiencing health problems. She suffered from memory lapses, straight up blackouts. She had difficulty concentrating. She was tired, but it was more than, like, she suffered from fatigue. She said that she would work all week, and then most of her weekends too, she would spend sleeping, and she was upset because she didn't want to just, you know, sleep.
Yeah, she didn't want to feel that way.
Yeah, she didn't go to sleep. That wasn't her, you know, she wanted to do things, have a life. But she said that she would just, like, fall asleep. And sometimes she would wake up without having any knowledge of even going to bed. No. She was also losing weight. Clumps of her hair were falling out. And at around this time, Giselle was about 58 years old. So she was afraid of... She was afraid these were signs of something bigger and something more serious. And as this kept going on, she started having gynecological issues. She obviously started to suffer from anxiety, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
And when she noticed a green color in a beer that Dominic had given her, and a bleach stain that she didn't recognize on a new pair of pants, she asked Dominic if he was drugging her. And he broke down crying and asked her, "How could you accuse me of such a thing?"
Because there's a green color. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, and it did actually say, like, the beer was a strange, like, green color. And he seemed to, like, pour it down the sink really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she felt really lucky to have him because she depended on him during this time. And he was there for her as they went to countless doctors. Dominic was with her. They went through several neurological tests, and she was afraid that she was suffering from Alzheimer's, possibly a brain tumor. But doctors were stumped. They couldn't find anything wrong with her. So the couple, they retired, and in 2014, they moved to Mazan in southern province of France. And Dominic, here, he would go on bike rides. Giselle would take their dog, a French bulldog named Lancôme, which I thought was precious. She would take their dog on long walks. Like, they were just enjoying their golden year. You know, they were retired. Mm-hmm. And Giselle would also go and stay with her daughter to help with their grandchildren. And when she did this, she would be awake for, like, sometimes weeks at a time. Basically, just take a vacation, go stay with her children, and take care of her grandchildren. And when she did this, Dominic, he would stay behind. And then in September 2020, she had returned home from one of these trips, and Dominic told her, again, crying, "I did something stupid." On September 12th of 2020, this was a Saturday, Dominic had, he went to the grocery store, and he had a cell phone in his hand, and then he was carrying a bag in the other one, when he was stopped by a security guard. And in this bag, the security guard found another cell phone, second cell phone, condoms, a camera, and a camcorder. And he actually stopped the security guard because the security guard found or saw him upskirting. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. For anybody that doesn't, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's when you either look or video or photograph up under a woman's skirt or dress. And that's what he was doing. He had that. Ugh. Anyway,
keep in mind, this is without their consent.
Without their consent, without their knowledge. Yes,
that's the big piece here, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, if, you know what? I don't care what you guys are into. It's the consent piece.
Yes. And this woman, when the security guard caught him, was one of three women that he had targeted that day.
Oh, just that day.
Uh huh. So Dominic told the security guard that his wife had left for Paris last month, and she was going to help with the grandchildren, and he was a man, quote, under the influence of impulse.
Gross. So and gross.
When Dominic told Giselle this, she said that she was stunned. They had been together 50 years at this point. And Giselle said that Dominic had never been inappropriate. He had never even cursed at a woman. And so she was just done. Like, I can't imagine. Yeah, like, I can't imagine. And he promised her that he would get help. And so they, like they always did, they moved on. Like they had been, like they had done so many other times.
Mm-hmm.
So a few days later, well, I said a few days, because I don't know when exactly, we don't know when, what day it was he told her that. So that happened on September 12th that he was caught. On November 2nd, 2020, Giselle and Dominic had breakfast together and then they headed down to the police station. Dominic had been summoned in relation to that upskirting incident. Mm-hmm. And while she waited for him, another officer directed her to a different room where he questioned her. And she said they seemed to be interested, like, in her husband, which, I mean, that seems pretty normal, I would imagine, you know, if James got implicated in some, well, if James implicated himself in something, surely if they James would did talk. Something
stupid, right?
I would kill him. I would tickle him to death.
Well, you know what? He might not want to come back. You know, it's fine.
But yeah, like it makes sense to me too. Like, okay, he got in trouble. They're gonna ask me some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, like, she told him, like, he was a great guy. They had overcome financial problems, health problems. Their friends and family would also tell you, like, he was a good father. He was a loving granddad. He was an honest worker. And at this time, they had 7 grandchildren. Like, they had built a pretty large family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what Giselle did not know was this was not the first time that Dominic had gotten in trouble for them. Dominic had been caught upskirting near Paris in 2010, where he was fined 100 euros. That's all.
Oh. Waiting for more. Like,
yeah, that's all. When he was arrested in 2020, he had no criminal background. So it seemed like this first offense, they just took some money from him, tapped him on the wrist, and said, shoo, shoo, go, go.
Move on. Good.
They never reached out to Giselle. She never knew until this happened.
I just am a little confused, I guess. Like, how is 100 euros enough of a... Like, that's such an invasion of someone's privacy.
Okay, I was thinking the same thing, too. Because, like, to be fair, I don't know the conversion rates. But I feel like I don't have to. 100 euros in 2020?
It's not enough.
That was 6 years ago. No, it wasn't. Am I okay?
I don't know. That was 5 years ago.
I already told y'all, I'm not mentally healthy. That was 5 years ago. Like, that... I don't know anything about... anything, really, but that's not enough.
Listen, we don't talk to Amanda about things like this. She struggles.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I just struggle to talk. Y'all hear it all the time.
I mean, yeah, we're not trying to be mean. I mean, I might be mean later, but not right now.
You have already been mean. You will absolutely be mean now, and you will absolutely be mean later. And if not, you're
right
sick.
Now, I said right now, okay?
Okay.
We're talking right in this moment, but I can be mean.
Being real sassy.
So
a woman called me sassy today at work, and I was like, you have no idea.
You're like, yeah, I am super sassy.
She's like, you should see the emails. And I was like, no, Gina, that's why they're emails. Nay, nay, nay.
They better say emails, because that's where they're safest.
So during the course of this interview, the officer started asking her more uncomfortable questions about her sex life with Dominic. And Giselle told him that she was a one-man woman. They didn't have threesomes. Like, she wasn't a swinger. No pineapples around here. This wasn't an open marriage. And she would later testify that she, quote, couldn't bear any man's hands on me other than my husband's. So she was like, no. This is... No. Just no. No one else.
Gross.
And so after about an hour into this interview, the officer opened a folder. And he asked Giselle to take a look at a photo that she wasn't going to like.
Then why ask me? I don't want to look at it then.
He asked her to identify the bed and the bedside table in the photograph. And she said they were hers. But there was also a man and a woman in those photographs that she didn't recognize. And he showed her a few more photographs. And that's when Giselle realized she did realize, she, or, I'm sorry, she did recognize that woman in the photo. Bryce, it was her.
Wait,
she,
what?
It was her in the photos.
Okay.
She was, she said that she was dressed in a way that she said was unfamiliar. And that these men in the photographs were raping her. She said that in that moment, her world fell apart. I can't imagine. Like, I've read this a million times and I've got goosebumps. She said that her world fell apart and she asked the officer to stop showing her the photos.
I mean, yeah.
She had a friend take her home where she had to tell her children that their father was arrested. And then she had to tell them why.
Oh.
Yeah, she, I didn't put it in here, but a lot of sources stated that, like, when she told them this, Caroline, her daughter, she said that the way and the words that she used was the way she howled, she will never forget it. And that just, it breaks my heart just having, like, just having to hear that come out of someone's mouth. But it came out of your mother's mouth, the woman that it happened.
I don't like it.
No. David, Caroline, and Florian, they rushed to their mother's side. And they later said they cleaned the house of anything linked to their dad. Anything, like family photos, gone. One BBC article said that within days, Giselle's life was reduced to a suitcase and her dog.
Oh my God, I hate it.
Dominic, on the other hand, he admitted to everything, and he thanked the police for relieving him of a burden.
I hate him.
And that's where I'm going to stop until next week.
I hate him so much. Like, how, what? What is wrong with people? How can people, like, think this is okay? You know what I mean? Like, I don't personally understand it, but then again, maybe I'm not meant to understand it because I'm not an effed up person like this.
People would testify otherwise, but there is no way, in my mind, in any rational person's mind, there's no way you would think this is acceptable unless you are a foul, pathetic excuse for a human being.
Right. Oh, I hate this so much.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I hate this so much.
This is why I want. I didn't want to cram all this in. What this woman went through, I didn't want to put this all in one episode.
Yeah,
she deserves to have her. I know everyone deserves it, but this is just so recent.
It's also just horrible. Like, I hate this because she's living through something nobody should ever live through. You know, like it.
Yeah.
To find out things like that had happened to her from the police, and it was from someone. You know,
you've been married to for over 50 years.
Right. Like, I don't like it.
And they were like, they were retired. They were supposed to, you know, just be living out the rest of their lives together. You spent that long with this person.
Right.
And I'm going to go ahead and warn you now, like the next
it
episode.
It doesn't get better is what you're saying.
No, it's going to get worse. But she, I can't think of any way to describe her other than an absolute icon. And I'm shocked that I've never heard of her because also, I'll go ahead and tell you now, this court case wrapped up in December of 2024.
Damn. No, I know you told me that, but
yeah.
Still, every time you do, I'm like, damn.
I don't think I've ever done a case this recent.
Right. Like, I'm just...
And I really don't even remember how I came across her. But whenever I heard her story, I was like, no, this is it. I was halfway through a story. No, scrap it. Back burner.
This is what we're doing. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, I still hate it. Like, I'm not going to lie about that. I still hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But, ugh. Okay, I'm not ready for next week. I'm not. Like, I'm going to be honest. And
I'm not either.
These pictures are of her.
Yes.
And then the one of her husband.
Yes.
God, I hate him so much. Gosh. I hate him.
She's just gorgeous.
She is very pretty. She's got that fiery red hair.
She just looks so put together and so confident and strong. And we'll get into it more next week, but those glasses, those round glasses that she's wearing, I specifically put that in there because she kind of became known for those.
I hate it so much.
Okay, are you ready for my story?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I am. I'm dying to know what the hell I'm looking at.
Okay, so let me just give you guys where I got this inspiration, because I'm going to be honest. I have been listening to a book.
I have one more guess whenever you're ready.
Okay, hold on. Because Amanda's made a couple guesses already, but before we do her guesses. So I've been reading a book. Actually, you know what? Before I tell you, because I feel like if I tell you the book and you know it, it gives it away. So Amanda has guessed
mermaids.
A siren, a mermaid, and now whatever she has.
My last guess is going to be a nymph. Like water nymphs, forest nymphs.
Nymphs? Yeah.
Okay. I had to see them together, the water and the forest, before I got it.
I mean, it's not a forest nymph that I'm sharing. Okay, so let's back up just a little bit. So what I was saying is that I got this inspiration from a book because I've been listening to a book, Fablehaven. For those of you that know the Fablehaven series, it's by Brandon Mull. I feel like Brandon Mull's right. Brandon something, Fablehaven. I'm pretty sure it's Brandon Mull. I'll double check though. Basically, the gist of Fablehaven is that there are these magical preserves around the world that you have to drink this special milk or eat this special whatever to see magical creatures. And one of the characters in that book, she was formerly a water naiad or a water nymph. And so I was like, I'm going to do a story about water nymphs. And then I also have, if we have time, I have a second nymph to share. So that's what we're going to talk about. If you guys know the Fablehaven series, you guys know who I'm talking about. If you're not, I'm not ruining it for you. So go listen, go read, because Cody and I love the Fablehaven series. But listen to us first, and then you can listen to the book. Okay. Let me just clarify. Listen to us first, and then you can go listen. Anyway, so what are water naiads? The, you know, definition, basic traits. Naiads are freshwater nymphs from Greek mythology. They differ from mermaids and sirens because naiads are fully human in form, but they are supernaturally tied to their water source. So a naiad or a water nymph, I'm going to refer to them as naiads. But a naiad cannot leave their water source. Some sources say at all. Other sources say for long. But they cannot leave their water source without weakening or falling to mortality. So it depends on sources. Some say, because they're immortal beings, they're tied to the water source. If they leave that water source, die, fall from immortality and become mortal, that type of stuff. Now, they are typically female. There are some very, very rare variations where they're male naiads, but you don't see them as frequently. Now, some of the abilities and powers they have, especially in Greek mythology, they have control over freshwater bodies, rivers, lakes, wells, fountains. They also have healing abilities if someone drinks from their spring, in some sources. Some sources said they could foresee the future. Some also said they really enjoyed punishing humans who polluted their waters or disrespected nature.
Well,
I mean, can't blame them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has a limit, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. In some legends, they are shapeshifters, or they could, I guess, to some extent, they could shift into mist or water to evade capture. So I think that's a pretty cool thing.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. So just to kind of dive more into where that lore comes from, we're not doing a deep dive, but we're going to do like a quick dive.
See what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you did. So in Greek mythology, these are considered semi-divine spirits. They often were considered daughters of Zeus, Oceanus, and other river gods. Sometimes they served as more powerful deities like Poseidon, Artemis, or Demeter. Naiads played a lot of roles in a lot of different myths, and they were often romantic interests. They were guides, or they could be threats to the heroes. It just kind of depends on what, you know, what you're reading. Now, some of the notable naiads in mythology, there's Daphne. She is a naiad pursued by Apollo, who turned into a laurel tree to escape him. Oh, she was like, okay. Girl, bye.
Not interested.
Not hard pass, sir. Arthosa? I don't know if I said that right. I'm sorry. This is one who transformed into a freshwater spring to escape a different river god's advances. She also said pass. Castillo's connections. There are some versions of... I said that wrong. Callisto. I said Castillo. I had my ST and my L's. I don't know what's happening. Callisto suggests that Naiads helped raise her son Arcas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There are other connections. You have them in Roman mythology. So there's some adopted naiads as part of their pantheon, often incorporating them into household worship. You have the Slavic folklore. Very similar beings exist in the form of Rusalka, which is drowned women who haunt lakes.
Oh, that's creepy. To me, like, nymphs do not seem creepy. They seem like almost peaceful. Like, look at them. They're all so serene and so peaceful, and they look calm. A little creepy, this one picture. But the drowning victims haunting just automatically is creepy to me.
Anything just that says haunting is just not the best.
Yeah.
So that is the Celtic.
I think it's Celtic, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry. I'm thinking like the Celtics.
Have we had this conversation before?
I think so. I think that's where my brain was. Anyways, they are also connected to stories of water fairies, lake ladies, and even selkies. But selkies are saltwater beings, so, you know, you kind of have some ties there. And then you have the Norse and the Germanic traditions, creatures like Nixie and Undine Bear, strong similarities to naiads. So you have a lot of places where they're kind of incorporated in some way or another, right? Like they're around, they're here. There are a lot of reported sightings. So you have like the ancient accounts where the Greeks believed that they could be physically seen, and they always appeared as beautiful women either in or near water sources. Supposedly there's temples and sacred sites were built around springs and wells where there were naiads that were living there or believed to be living there. So you have some of those. You also have medieval and Renaissance folklore. You have the Lady of the Lake, which is an Arthurian legend, and it shares a very strong similarity with naiads. And she actually gifted Excalibur to King Arthur. What is wrong with my tongue today?
Ooh. I'm not sure.
You have medieval Europe's belief in enchanted springs that also could stem from naiad lore. And I forgot to mention, I did these notes significantly differently than I would typically do them. So if it's not your guys' favorite format, let me know. But that's okay. Anyways, going on. Some more recent claims. You have a lot of urban legends about ghostly women near lakes and rivers, which could be like the modern interpretation of naiads.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There are also paranormal reports that suggest there are mysterious figures appearing near water sources, but vanishing without a trace, which I think we've talked about several times, right?
I think so. Like, just in, like, talking about, I know we talked about some, and, oh my gosh, what is that? That big man-made lake in Georgia.
Yeah, the one that you covered, and I would rather forget, even though it's gorgeous.
Yes, and I cannot think of the name right now, but I know it's not said how it looks like it's said.
Yeah,
it's going to come to me at like 2 a.m.
It's going to come to you like 3 weeks from now.
Uh-huh.
At 2 a.m.
Yep.
Yeah. But you also have some people that are like, we have photos or videos, and they show like they say it's water spirits, or there's like unexplained ripples in the water. could possibly be a naiad that was like peeking up and going away, you know?
Oh, okay.
Peaky. Now, yeah. So there are some like connections and theories people have drawn. So disappearing swimmers. A lot of people or myths suggest that naiads are responsible for some of those very mysterious drownings where they're pulling people underwater if they trespass in sacred waters, or some say they do it for sport.
Or if they like, if you're in like this nice crystal stream and you pee, is that why?
Well, I think that would be like trespassing or disrespecting their area. I can't blame them either. If you're peeing on a naiad's head, that's a problem.
Yeah. Annie peed in the living room today and I was like, we're done with the potty panties back. Go get a diaper.
We're not doing this today.
Yeah, not today. Can't do it. We've been through four pair.
Yeah. So basically, there's a lot of like drownings that are unexplained or even disappearances that people think, well, these were probably naiads that did it. Are you laughing at Buck?
Yeah, he's just ears. Okay, he's ears on the camera. Sorry. Probably naiads.
Probably naiads. There's also the fae connection. So there's folklore experts that believe they are like the naiads are a subset of fae creatures. So they specifically pull this from Celtic and Slavic myths. They share a lot of traits with water fairies and they could be part of like a larger supernatural hierarchy there. So that's just kind of an interesting thought there. Another theory is that naiads could be ghosts of people who drowned, which we already talked about. They're just unable to leave the place where they died. And so this could explain why they act vengeful and like to drown people. I mean,
yeah.
They are.
Hello? Try that again. Okay. When I was a stay-at-home mom, I also got vengeful if I hadn't left the house in a few days.
I get it. You always have that skepticism. So a lot of psychological explanations or experts say this is... Oh, God, I forgot how to say this. I wrote these notes a long time ago, guys. Psychological explanations include pareidolia, which is just seeing faces in water.
I hate that.
Yeah. Or another natural occurrence is like the light reflections, mist, and hidden currents that can create illusions of supernatural figures.
Okay, so, that, yeah, I kind of see.
It's naiads. You shut your filthy face.
Hey, I'm just saying I can see the argument, but also I be seeing shit that ain't there. So why would you believe me?
I don't believe you. So, so you have a lot, like I said, these often appear in a lot of fantasy TV shows, like books. Like I got the inspiration from a book, right? Like I was like, let me do some reading on water naiads. And in the Fablehaven series, for those of you that know, water naiads, I would say they're territorial in the sense like if you enter their lake, you're not exiting their lake.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they're not like coming out onto the water to pull you in. They'll just pull you in if you get too close, you know?
Is there a way to appease them? Or are we going to get into that later?
I didn't find any ways to appease them.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Perfect.
I mean, there is the environmental connection because it said that naiads protect clean water. So maybe like don't pollute the water and do conservation efforts. Maybe that appeases them.
Okay. So if you go swimming in a stream, maybe pick up trash.
Yeah. Pick up trash. Don't pee in it.
Yeah.
Just a thought. So those are the water naiads. We're going to also talk about spring naiads. Well, let me see how long we've been talking now. Hold on. Yeah, I think we have time to talk about spring naiads. So spring naiads, they're often pronounced pegai, a Greek word. I don't know. This is another type of naiad that is associated with natural freshwater springs. So a little bit different. They are considered lesser deities. They're still very powerful water spirits, but they're linked to sacred or magical waters. So they are guardians of the spring, much like the water naiads. They ensure the purity and life-giving properties of the water. They appear as beautiful women, like most other naiads, and they're often depicted lounging near their springs or bathing. Some are also known to bestow blessings, healing, or prophetic visions. So they have kind of the same water naiad stuff. And those are for those who approach them with respect. They do that. Like if you're coming up and being like, Biznatch, give me XYZ, they're going to be like, turn into a frog. I don't actually know if they do that. I'm just saying, like, you know. They can be very benevolent, but they are also dangerous. So for those who polluted their spring, they might be cursed or lured to their doom or just drowned in general. So,
okay,
you know. Now, these naiads, again, considered daughters of river gods or other primordial water deities. So again, Oceanus, or this one is Tethys. They are associated with gods who had connection to healing, wisdom, and purification. So they're connected to Apollo, Artemis, and Demeter again. So they're very, very similar. So we're going to kind of speed through them because they are very similar. So there are many Greek oracles and sacred sites that were located near natural springs, and those were believed to be inhabited by them again. A lot of travelers would actually leave offerings for the spring naiads for good fortune and safe passage. So that's kind of a summary of your Greek mythology. Now, the notable spring naiads in mythology, this one was also on the water naiad because it's debated if she was a spring spring or a water naiad, is Arthusa. I don't know how to say her name. I'm sorry. I still didn't Google. But again, this one was the one that was pursued by a river god and just kind of transformed herself into a sacred spring. This is actually a spring in Sicily. I had the location on this one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You also have the Castilian spring naiads, which are associated with the Oracle of Delphi. And this is where priestesses drink the water for prophetic visions. I can't remember how to say this name. Dirce? D-I-R-C-E. I know how to say it. It's in here somewhere. It doesn't matter. This is a naiad that was punished by I hate the Greek god's name sometimes. But this was the naiad was punished by that god, and their body became a sacred spring. So again, they still have other cultures connected to them. There's the Roman mythologies, the Celtic lore, Slavic mythology. All of those are pretty similar. So like the spring naiad is pretty damn similar to the water naiad. They just have a couple differences. So some of the reported sightings, they have sacred springs in Greece and Rome where they're believed to have like the spring naiad guardians. There's also priest healers and mystics that would drink or bathe, same as from the water naiads, to gain visions for healing. You also have the same medieval and Renaissance legends. So the different springs with healing powers. You have different folk traditions across Europe that claim certain wells or springs had mystical women appearing at certain times. Again, same thing with the ghostly women in modern sightings. If they're near springs or there's ripples with no explanation, a lot of people think that is possibly a naiad. Some report strange feelings or energy shifts near sacred springs. Really, these ones are just more confined to springs, but have like a lower status than a water naiad. Does that make sense?
It does. I would have assumed that they had a higher status because I view springs as like, you know, everybody wants to drink spring water. It's supposed to be this great, clean, crisp.
I think it maybe just depends because most of what I said seemed like they had a lower status, though it could be a same status as a water naiad. It just, I saw more sources that referred to naiads being as like that, more like a Zeus level.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe not Zeus, but you know, that level. Versus the spring naiads, I didn't see that very often.
I guess if it's a spring naiad, they are more contained than water. Yeah. They can go wherever. If you're a river.
Yep. So for the spring naiads, they have the same folklore, same theory with the fae. Sorry, I skipped a word and was confused. So they have the same theory with the fae where they could be a part of that in the Celtic wells. Because Celtic well spirits are often associated with blessings and dangers, which is the same for the spring. Naiads. You also have the same thing for disappearances and deaths for them, unexplained drownings, that type of stuff. Though some suggest the Naiads, and this goes for water and spring, but they charm people to live with them underwater as well. I'm sorry, this one's for spring specific. They are able to charm people to live with them underwater, kind of like in the mermaid lores. So I don't understand that one. I wrote these notes forever ago, guys. I don't remember everything I was trying to say, okay?
So did people actually live with them, or did they just die and exist together?
I don't know. I don't remember. I'll be honest. I wrote these notes when we first went on break in November.
Oh.
And then the boys kept me busy, and I was like, I'm going to just pull these out of the back pocket here. That's why we're doing those. Same scientific explanations, you know, different reasons of why they could be coming up for the skeptics. So really, these Naiads, both of them are, they're pretty similar, right? Like, there's some slight variations, but they're pretty much, in my eyes, very, very similar. They're cousins, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, if any of you guys have ever been to a spring where you're like, man, I have this weird feeling, or even if you're like by a lake or a river and you're like, man, there's this weird feeling, and then you saw like a random lady, it could have been a water Naiad of some sort, guys.
Oh, I might have to keep that in mind.
So keep that in mind. You also have these guys in a lot of pop culture references, books, movies, TV. And then, you guys, I'm going to say this every time we do paranormal for things I like, but if you guys have ever actually seen one, please freaking let us know, because I want to hear your stories.
I absolutely agree, because, like, at this point, I feel like if I ever go to a stream or a river wherever again, I used to, you know, back in Alabama where I knew where they were. But there's a lot of them up here. If we ever go to one and I see a random lady and she's very beautiful, I'm just going to be like, I swear to God, I'm taking our trash with it. And she's just going to think I'm crazy. But I want to be sure.
She's just trying to enjoy her beach day. And you're like, I'm taking the trash, lady.
She's going to be like, what the hell is wrong with this woman? And then she's going to see my two kids and she's going to be like, oh, she didn't sleep. Never mind.
She might just be like, I don't know what's wrong with this woman. Please stop screaming at me about you taking your trash. So anyways, that's my stories about water and spring Naiads. There are more Naiads. I know this was in a different format than I normally do, so I might go through and do some more Naiads.
Yes.
Because there are like river Naiads, lake Naiads, fountain Naiads, marsh Naiads. Those are just like the water Naiads, right? Mm-hmm. So I might go through and do those ones, but I might do like Hamadryads or something else. Because again, I'm listening to this book about magical creatures. And so that's all I'm hearing is about like magical creatures right now.
So just a plethora of ideas coming at your face.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, there's fairies and there's Naiads and there's satyrs and centaurs and the moose version of a centaur, which I don't remember what it's called, and leprechauns and
satyr. Is that the one that's half goat?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Pulled that out of the back of my brain.
Yeah. What else? I mean, there's demons and there's unicorns and
am I gonna have to read Fablehaven?
You can just listen to it.
Am I gonna have to listen and or read Fablehaven?
If you haven't, yes. For those of you that have not ever read or listened to Fablehaven, I highly recommend you do, because it's one of mine and Cody's favorites.
Is it something I can read to Annie, or is it like?
It's not. Adult? It's like, I wouldn't even call it young adults. It's a pretty young age group. It's okay. Like same level as the first Harry Potter.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think
it's consistent on all five books. That I feel like it's pretty much the same level there. At least that's my perspective. I also haven't listened to these books in a really long time. So if like the fourth or fifth book are maybe a little bit older, I don't remember. Okay, I'm listening to the third book right now and going, oh yeah, that's what happened. I've only listened to this book 30 times. But my point being is, yeah, no, like, I think Annie would be fine. Just keep in mind, there is some, I mean, they talk to demons and minimal death. I don't want to say there's a lot, but there is a little bit. Like, I can think of three 3 at just off the top of my head right now. And this isn't even through the books that I'm in. Like, this is 3 that I can remember from when I previously read the books.
Oh.
And there is the element of, like, a war between fairies and demons.
Oh, this sounds... Yeah, I'm gonna have to...
Yeah, anyways. Not to get too far into it, but... I mean, I feel like we already got too far into it. So to reel it back, that's where I got my inspiration. I'll see what I do next week because Amanda has a part 2 and I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
So. Something light. Trust me.
Okay, so I'm going to do something light. I was just told that, so I guess we figured that out because I only had one backup set of notes for just in case I needed it and didn't have time to do notes because boys were screaming. Been a week, but anyway, so that is my story. Any questions, comments, concerns? I do not accept complaints.
I thought you were gonna, I was seriously expecting you to say any questions, comments, concerns. I do not care.
Oh, no. I was just saying I don't accept complaints regardless of what you think.
I like this story though. I like the water nymphs. The only one that makes me uncomfortable is the very last one where she's like dragging her hair across his face, but it still doesn't look.
I don't remember what one you're referring to.
The dark skinned girl with the black hair.
Oh. She looks like she has blue skin.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if it was like blue or gray, but yeah. And she's like dragging her hair, like the tips of her hair across his face.
That one's a water nymph.
I can't tell if it's malicious or if it's just sensual. I feel like it could go either way.
I feel like I don't know.
Yeah, that's just the only one that I'm like, I look at and I'm like, okay. The other ones I'm like, oh, that's nice. This one I'm like, this I'm not sure of.
Okay. I just pulled one in and I was like, she looks like she's tempting a man into the waters.
That's exactly what it looks like, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you all for listening to Hell on Heels Podcast. If you want to see pictures from today's episode, you can follow us on Instagram, Hell on Heels Podcast, X Hell on Heels Pod, or Facebook, Hell on Heels Podcast. You can also find us on Linktree by typing in Hell on Heels Podcast. If you want to support the show, please be sure to like, review, rate, share, and subscribe on your preferred listening platforms. If you have your own true crime or paranormal stories, or just maybe some words of encouragement, send them our way at hellonheelspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to tell your friends to listen as well. Bye.
Bye.